Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
All right, so hey, it is time for next big thing number four, and we are here with Nate Parrish. Hey, man.
Hello, what is up?
So some of you may have seen Nate in the past. He's the guy with the awesome Moses kind of hair in Cutlass these days.
Moses, I like it.
Maybe a little bit longer than we expect from Moses, but...
Yeah, I think Moses probably had to keep it trimmed. He had a lot going on.
I actually started getting in contact with you when we did the Fearless BND episodes from some history with Worth Dying For.
Yeah, I saw that. I was actually just in contact with a new release, and I saw the podcast. I was like, oh, hey, I know those guys. So yeah, that was my former band back in, I mean, technically we started Worth Dying For in 05, technically is when we started. But yeah, so that was kind of cool to see that. It's always nice to hear, you know, people still remember that stuff.
I first heard of Worth Dying For on the Creation Fest tour, which was 08. And I was actually looking through old Facebook pictures, and we actually had some from that concert weekend. Because it was kind of a huge deal for us, and we met KJ52 that day. Yeah, we met Thousand Foot Crutch, which that was exciting. I think we abused our VIP pass that day. I think you're only supposed to go through one wing. They had like three or four artists in per wing for the VIP meet and greet, and I think we hit two of them. I think we're only supposed to hit one.
Listen, you're VIP, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
You do what you want.
No, we had a lot of fun memories from that. I remember Thousand Foot Crutch. What was their song? I don't remember. But Trevor came through with a flag.
Yes. And
I can't remember what song that was, but he starts singing. Everybody's like, huh? We're in the back. We see him float through. So we got to watch the reaction the whole way up.
Yeah, that tour was awesome. That was our first tour, like with other bands. That wasn't just us driving around in our van. I think it was like eight bands. Yeah, it was Cutlass, TFK, Fireflight, Run Kid Run, which I love Run Kid Run, so I was super pumped about that. Children 18-3 was supposed to be on it, but they dropped off, and Capitol Lights hopped on, and I really liked them a lot. And Esterlin was a band that I became good friends with Luke, and I've done some projects with Luke in the past. We did some writing together, and I really like Luke. He's a super cool guy. So it was a cool experience. It was my first bus tour. I shared a bus with KJ. And he, one time I left my shoes in his lounge area or something, and he like threw them out in the hallway. Nice. And so we had a little situation. It's like, dude, don't throw my shoes. So yeah, it was super fun. I remember specifically with TFK, you know, we would do our set, and then after us was a co-headliner. It was TFK and Cutlass. So they'd alternate. So I would take a shower, and I remember I could always hear their set while I was taking a shower. And so I was like, oh, this is Rockfest. And so that those kind of weird memories that you have of, you know, you're being on tour and stuff, but it was rad, man. I really liked it. Everyone was super cool. And this is kind of a huge tour. I mean, a lot of bands, and
it was,
that was fun.
And I think Pillar was on that one before they boogied out.
Yeah. Pillar was on that. There's actually a video. I think it's still up, where the last night of the tour is like prank night. And so we played our set, and Noah came out with a cowbell, and then they wrapped, while I was playing guitar, they wrapped me up in caution tape or something. Nice. And so I played like the rest of the song with, you know, fully taped up. So yeah, it was super cool.
So were you on bass with that tour, or were you on guitar with that one?
I was still on guitar.
Okay.
Yeah. I originally started on guitar in that band, and then about a quarter of the way through recording Love Riot, they approached me with switching to bass, and I was like, oh, no, thanks. No. That's no, not enough strings. I eventually, you know, I switched, mostly because Sean, our lead vocalist, you forget, it's a worship band. So, you know, there's moments of spontaneous or whatever. He needs to take us in a different direction. It's really hard to do that from bass.
Yeah.
Is really the reason. And so we switched. So I learned how to play bass and tracked the rest of the album which was kind of nerve wracking because I'm not really a bass player. You know, I could do it, but, and so our producer was Henry Seeley. I don't know if that name rings a bell, but he's up at Belonging Co. He was a producer. And so he is like super meticulous. So I remember spending hours and hours every day while they were tracking vocals, like learning bass riffs and whatever, because when I got into track, he just like stares at your fingers while you're playing and listens to every little sound. I was like, oh my gosh, dude. But it was a good learning experience for me. So trial by fire.
Yeah. I'm no stranger to that. I said this in an episode a couple of weeks ago, but at a church that I was at the time, they were short on bass players. So I had to play bass pretty much throughout the summer and that, and started getting into the fall. And yeah, I was enough to hold it down, but we did a special to Sister Sledge's We Are Family for our community group weekend. Boy. You know, kind of rewrote some of the words and all that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. And I mean, that bass line is funky. It's good old 70s funk and a lot of movement and all that. I just looked at the worship leaders like, do you hate me? Did I do something wrong? Like, what's the deal here? Like,
yeah, a lot of bass players just are born out of necessity. Because everyone wants to play guitar.
Yeah, of course.
But so when you find an actual bass player, they're an oddity because they just have a different approach to music. You know, like the way that, you know, an actual bass player carries a song, it's pretty impressive. So I play bass, but it's mostly like a guitar, you know.
Yeah, there's just something really impressive about the guys who bass is their primary, and that's kind of their love. I mean, it's just a whole different level.
Yeah, it's a different breed for sure. They're funky.
And so you were showing me a video that you had a prank from that Creation Fest tour where you're talking about replacing James on guitar and Cutlass.
Yeah.
And here we are. It wasn't James that you replaced, but it was
Nick DeParty.
Yeah. It's crazy. I remember those from Ryan to Nick and you know, now to you here as that lead role.
It's weird how that happened. Like people see the video and they think I just made it. And it's really weird. Like in Worth Dying For, one of my roles was merch in videos. So I would make like funny vlogs and tour videos and stuff. And so this one, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was like, I want to do one where I'm like obsessed with Cutlass and whatever. And so it was like, we did that video and I basically was like stalking James. And I just had met them. Yeah. You know, I'm just like, hey, I'm just going to do this. And eventually they caught on and they played along with it. But at first I didn't say anything. I just did it.
That's hilarious.
And but then, you know, was it 7 years later actually in the band? It's super weird. So I don't know if it's a gift I have or if I make a video about something, it comes true. But I'm working on a video right now where I find a bag of money on the street. And so hopefully, you know, that comes to fruition as well. But yeah, it was super funny how that worked out. And yeah, it's prophetic.
Yep. So our paths actually crossed. We didn't know it at the time, but it was 2018 on Manic Drive's One Night Music Circus Tour when they were here in DFW. I was there beforehand. I interviewed all three of the bands that were there. It was you, Manic Drive, and Disciple.
Yep.
And I was there for sound check, which I'm a sucker for sound check. I love just hearing the warm-ups and getting everything dialed in and just kind of messing around, just trying to warm up.
I apologize for our sound check.
Dude, it's fun every time. Like, it's just one of my weird things is the sound check is just almost as much fun as a concert, getting all the warm up and all that in.
The Cutlass sound check is funny because we're just goofy. So we usually will play the songs incorrectly on purpose. We have like this riff. It's from a Pearl Jam song. And we always try to put it in two songs, but we put it in the wrong key. So John Mike is, you know, focusing on trying to sing, and then me and James are doing like this weird riff that is completely wrong and terrible. And I'm sure when people come in, they're like, oh wow, I get to see behind the scenes and see what Cutlass sounds like. They're like, oh my god, what's going on? These guys are terrible. So yeah, but we have fun. Yeah, I love that tour, man. That was super fun. You know, we shared a bus with Disciple, became good friends with them, and worked out with Joey periodically, and yeah, it was fun.
So I heard there was, I think it was a lot of NHL.
Oh yeah. Tons of that. They're big into hockey, college football. I'm not a huge sports guy. I used to be in high school, but not anymore. And so I just had a good time watching them, you know, punch stuff when their team didn't win. So, yeah, Kevin is a huge Falcons fan. So that was during football season. So that was always kind of cool to hang on the bus and watch football with them. So, yeah, I like those guys a lot. I actually did a cover song with Joey. I think it was about 2 months ago or a month ago. I covered a Social Distortion song. It's like one of my favorite bands. And he, yeah, I was like, I want to cover this song. Are you down? He's like, yeah, I don't really do much punk rock, but just do your thing. And it turned out awesome. It was super fun.
It's awesome. So one of the things that John Micah talked about is just over the evolution and the audience with Cutlass. They've turned mm-hmm. to more, or actually I should say the concerts have kind of turned to more worship songs.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about that, you know, just going from the Worth Dying For side with mm-hmm. the worship being more rock and you know, kind of that demographic, like we heard from Jeremy.
Sure.
And then, you know, to Cutlass, where it's just kind of that different atmosphere and just that different culture, where Cutlass also has that huge rock side of it as well, but mm-hmm. it's kind of that dichotomy there.
So for me personally, when I got into worship, it sort of happened on accident, like most of the things in my life. I had just playing punk rock and hardcore music, and I got involved in this church in Modesto, and they're like, hey, you play guitar, you have tattoos, you want to be on the worship team? And I was like, sure. But for me, it wasn't foreign worship music, but as far as me being a part of it was completely brand new. So I approached it the way I approached every band I've ever been in of like, okay, we're going to do this hard and heavy and I'll do some screaming and whatever. And so speaking for me personally, at least where I was coming from, I wanted to make worship that I liked, make sounds that related to me because I wasn't hearing it necessarily. And I figured, well, if I'm going to do it, I want to do something that relates to me and my approach to music. And so put that into worship. So we had, like Jeremy was talking about, we had a lot of screaming and all that kind of stuff. And just really a reaction out of coming from, oh, it'd be cool if worship music was something that I liked. So I was like, I don't hear it, so I might as well try to make it myself. And that's kind of how Worth Dying For came about, was we weren't hearing it. And so we decided to make it. With the Cutlass thing, which I think was my foot in the door with the Cutlass thing, because, you know, on Creation Tour saying, okay, it's a worship band, but it still rocks or whatever. But you know, with Cutlass, I mean, we're talking about 20 years of being a band.
Yep.
10 plus albums. So when you put together a concert, you have such a broad spectrum of music now. You know, from the first album sounds completely different than, you know, Surrender or something that's, you know, 10 or 15 years later. So the challenge is always your audience. You really can't help who gravitates towards your music. You just make the music you want to make. And so you see, okay, well, wow, this is kind of crazy. We have everyone from like teenagers to people in their 60s. How do you make it work? Like, how do you put on a concert that covers that entire spectrum? And so that's always a challenge. And for us, it's sort of like starts off, you know, high octane, and then it goes into the worship. And then we actually have like a message and altar call time every time, because that's, you know, that's the mission. And then we ramp it back up towards the end. So there's a good mix, which, you know, you're at the concert, we have a pretty good mix of rock and worship in there. Just because, I mean, that's the nature of our audience. Yep. You don't want to necessarily alienate one or the other.
Yep.
It's a balancing act, you know.
So talk about stepping into a band like Cutlass that has been, I'll step back and say, Cutlass has been one of my favorite bands for years and years. It was one of my favorite, one of my first concerts back in 2005, 2004, 2003. I don't know. It's been a long while since that happened. But it was one of my first concerts that I went to. So Cutlass has always been a favorite of mine. And you have that long history and people mm-hmm. who have been fans. Talk a little bit about walking into a band that has that kind of a following and, you know, filling in the shoes of guys like Nick and Ryan.
Well, yeah, it was definitely intimidating, especially Nick, which I got a chance to watch Nick firsthand. And we hung out a lot on that Creation tour, and I was just geeking out over all their gear and stuff like that. They were super cool. And we had a lot of the same musical influences. So it was intimidating because he's a great guitar player. I mean, he's fantastic. And so very intimidating for me to step into something like that. Now, even at that time, I had done Worth Dying For. And then once I departed from that, I had another band called Kingdom, and we did same kind of, not same, but we did rock worship stuff. we run a label and we did all that kind of stuff. And then I was pretty much just taking a break doing worship and stuff like that. So to get the call out of the blue was, it was literally out of the blue. James, wow, like, hey, do you want to play guitar? It's like, yes. You know, in my life, it's just been a series of walking through open doors. I find that for me, God just, he'll open doors and I just have to be brave and take the opportunity. And sometimes you fail or sometimes you succeed, and, but it's just about taking a step. So I just was like, okay, this is going to be a whole different ball game, but I'm going to practice my butt off. And my first show ever was with Toby Mac, thousands of people. And I was like, great, in Oregon.
And hometown for Cutlass.
Yeah. But I just was like, you know what? I can't be scared to screw up. I just have to go and approach it like I would approach anything. Just give it what I got and we'll see what happens. But it went awesome. And I was kind of just waiting for that. Yeah, that was great. We'll call you. You know, 5 years later, still haven't got kicked out. So it's been great, man. Their legacy and everything that they've accomplished. I mean, even the fact that they're a full-time band for 20 years, like that's near impossible.
Yeah.
People don't do that. It's something very hard to accomplish. And for them to have that kind of success and to still keep the gospel message at the focus, which for me was the clincher, because, you know, being in a band is, it's fun, but it's not super glamorous all the time. It's hard work. You play a show, go to sleep for 3 hours, you get up, go to the airport or get in a bus. You know, it's tiring. And so it's not all glamour, but for me, the fact that that was their mission was to spread the gospel. And even with our tour we did in Ukraine, we spent about a month and a half, 2 months in Ukraine doing free outdoor shows, huge shows. Like that to me is, it was the clincher, because I want to be a part of something that is not just putting out music for the heck of it, which is fun. But for me to hop back on a bus, like I want it to mean something. And so those guys really have a singular focus of preaching the gospel message through music.
That's cool. I mean, you sit there and think about it. It's like, oh man, that would be awesome to be in Cutlass, a band like Cutlass. You know,
I made a video. I literally made a video about it.
But yeah. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we don't see behind the scenes, I mean, you kind of get that grasp of like, okay, yeah, you're on the road a lot and all that, but just the full gravity of it, we don't see that a lot.
No, you don't see it. And you know, especially with the internet, people always have something to say about what you're doing, and that's fine. We find it humorous, but like an example was, you know, I joined the band. We moved to Bakersfield. So I've been in Bakersfield for 4 years. At my church, this couple comes up to me and they recognize me. They're like, what are you doing here? I was like, oh, I lead worship here. This is where I go. This is where I work. And they're like, oh, our daughter is a huge Cutlass fan. Would you want to come over and say hi to her? I was like, sure. So she has this disability where she's in a wheelchair and she doesn't speak very well. She has a lot of stuff going on. So I went over to her house not knowing what to expect. And I walk into a room and it is Cutlass Central.
Oh, wow.
Like she has posters from 2003 that are signed. Everything is signed. So like I didn't fully grasp like, oh, this is real. And her parents were just telling me how much the band means to her. And I was like, oh, you guys got to stop talking because, you know, I was getting emotional, but I brought over her a poster and talked to her for a while. That kind of stuff is like playing guitar and singing songs. That's cool. But like, that's the stuff that you don't really expect that. Like, no, this actually means something to people. And when you see it firsthand, it's really humbling that you get to be a part of that. And so I try not to take that for granted. And, you know, the times where I'm tired or, you know, people are questioning your motives on the internet or whatever, I'm like, that's cool. You don't see what I see. You haven't been in, you know, in my shoes. It's okay. So it keeps you going and it's super humbling. Yeah. So
that's so cool for me to hear too, because like I said, it would be cool to play guitar for Cutlass. I mean, I'd drool at the chance if that ever came my way, but
well, yeah, I'll hit you up next time. I can't get out of work.
Need to take a break. Yeah. But I mean, there's just that mission mind of it. There's just that mission piece to it there.
And yeah.
I mean, I think that's what a lot of people don't see behind the scenes. And
no.
I mean, it's cool that that's the clincher for that was that it was the mission and not
Yeah.
Just kind of despite all the other stuff that goes with the grueling pieces of it, that's the piece that means the most.
No, definitely. I mean, when we did this 2-month tour in Ukraine, which was basically they're brand new Christians. So previously in the 90s is when basically they were allowed to have freedom of religion. So a lot of these people were hearing literally the gospel for the first time. So you play your songs and they're rocking and their kids with Slipknot shirts in the front row and Marilyn Manson, like, all right, these are our people. And then when John Michael starts preaching the gospel, I'm literally watching them and their faces and their eyes open up. This is the first time they've heard the gospel. Wow. It's nuts. And in America, you don't experience that. But when you go over there and it hits you like, wow, this is actually what we're doing.
If you've not been to a Cutlass concert and don't know John Micah, I mean, he doesn't go soft on the gospel. It's not like a, hey, Jesus is cool. And that's kind of like interlude between songs. I mean, it's a sermon. John Micah really goes after it during those pieces.
He does. And we made it a point. There's sometimes where, you know, we'll play a festival and they're like, okay, we had to cut, you know, short because of time. And we always cut songs before we cut the message. We've never cut the message. We never will. So we'll just play our songs faster. But we've definitely cut songs to keep that gospel message intact. And even James right now works for Eastern European missions. So he is right now, since we're not on the road or doing any of that kind of stuff, he's working with a company that distributes Bibles overseas. And so, yeah, it's very missional, and that's why I like it.
So cool. And somewhere in the middle of all this, you cut your own, can I call it punk rock album? Is that the best?
Yeah, it's hard to put yourself in a genre, you know, because every time someone else listens to it, it's like, oh, it sounds like this. But I call it punk rock because those are my main influences, and it has been since I was a teenager. But also sort of the production and ethic behind it of being self-produced and self-distributed and all that kind of stuff. Very punk rock.
So when I first listened to it, it reminds me of kind of that early 2000s where MXPX was big in the Christian scene. Mm-hmm. Just kind of that area of rock. And
yeah,
you know, it was a nice, I don't want to say throwback because it's new and fresh, but I mean, I think that's terrible to put that as, oh, this is a throwback album.
Cool throwback. No, the influences are obvious. So I started the project about a year ago. I've been in bands, obviously in different bands and stuff for a long time, led worship. And somewhere in that, lost a little bit of my own self-expression just because none of them were my bands or anything like that. I've always been a songwriter, and I'll write songs and someone else sings it. But I decided that, man, I have a lot of stuff I want to talk about, a lot of stuff I want to get off my chest. How do I do it? Being in this world of like, this is not going to be played on Sunday morning. This is not going to be in a Cutlass. You know, it's not. It's literally just for me and whatever I want to do with it. So I have a little home studio and I set it up and started recording. And my goal was to record a song a month, release it, and it was going to be about literally whatever. I wasn't going to overthink it or try to cram it in a Christian music box. If I want to sing about, you know, the first song was Politicians and Celebrities. It's basically just deconstructing that. Why do we care what these people think?
Which made me laugh so hard. Like, I was re-listening to it this morning, and I paused what I was doing at work. It's like, this is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was so cathartic to be able to write that song, record it and sing it and just do it and not worry about anything else. It felt so good because it was pure self-expression, purely for artistic. Yeah. It was pure artistic expression for me. It felt awesome.
Which I think still fits that theme of kind of that same genre, because it's a lot more of that. I've heard the word angsty throw out, which is not the right.
It's angsty.
Okay. I was going to say, I wasn't trying to put it as angsty, but there you go.
No. Yeah. Well, cause it's usually related with like teenage angst, like, I'm not going to my room, dad. Yeah. But it's sort of a grown up angst where I'm like, I don't like politicians. So it is angsty. It's aggressive. I didn't really hold back on what I wanted to say. It's part of going along with the whole having an honest expression and just throwing it out there and not worrying about what people think. But at the same time, being a Christ follower, there's an element of hope to all that. So it's not just like, politicians suck, the end. It's more about empowering us, you know, as citizens and people to think for yourself, decide for yourself, and not rely on these other humans. They're just like us, you know? And so, yeah, it's a little angsty for sure.
Going back to that, I think it really fits kind of that rock theme. Mm-hmm. What I remember of a lot of that, and it's kind of sad to say, I still love the rock scene, but just the easy listening stuff, when I'm actually listening to stuff, it tends to be more mm-hmm. worship. I've been softening up in my old age. It's terrible.
Oh, buddy.
I try and pull it back every once in a while.
It's all right, dude. It's all right. You do you.
Something about becoming a dad and softening up and stuff.
No, no, never.
As I say to the new dad.
I know. No, yeah, it's true that you do get a little softer.
So the question was asked, what's one of my favorite genres? And I couldn't think of it at the time, but then I started getting back into the pop punk. I'm like, okay, that's my love. Like the Green Days, the, mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't say a lot of this on Christian podcast.
Well, you got to do that Christian equivalent. You got the MXPX and Slick Shoes and Huntington's and
That old school, Capitol Lights, you know, going back Capitol to Capitol Lights. And so that's really like my true love in music. Mm-hmm. I forgot where I was going with this. But,
genres. Like,
yes. What I remember kind of that era, punk rock is just the unfiltered, like, I'm just going to say whatever. And so I love that this album really fits square within that theme.
Yeah, talking about genres, I would refer to it as punk rock because I know where my influences are. And, you know, people have a different opinion on what is punk rock, just like anything else. Like, but I know for me, bands like Ramones and Social Distortion and even going back to Bruce Springsteen and stuff that is very like roots rock and roll, punk rock in its own right, where I think punk rock has less to do with the sounds you make, more about the attitude behind what you're doing. And so it's definitely heavy on that. And I love that stuff. I mean, that's what I listen to all the time. And so it makes total sense that that's what I would be making, you know?
So one of my questions to you earlier was this a COVID project? And you'd said that just a minute ago that this was a year ago, which mm-hmm. is crazy. Some of the themes, especially in an election, you're like politicians and celebrities and just everything that's going on. It's just crazy how something that was written a year ago is relevant. And I just really think it goes to show that we've been dealing with a lot of what's going on right now for a long time.
Oh yeah.
A lot of people seem to treat it like it's new. Like, oh my gosh, now we have all this, just all the stuff that's going on right now. It's like, it's new this year. And it's like, well,
nope, it's the same stuff, just different versions. And I think the approach I had to the album lends to being able to tackle relevant issues just because, you know, if I'm writing a song at a time and releasing it, it's literally based on what I'm going through at that moment. So, you know, like even the song Mind Monopoly was written and that came out in January as a single because I was, you know, just kind of fed up with the fact that there's news outlets trying to put a monopoly on what information you get, the gatekeepers, and trying to influence your decision to side with one side or the other based on whose information sounds better to you. You know what I mean? And so I was like, nope, forget that. So, you know, Mind Monopoly was a song about that and House Made of Mirrors, you know, basically about the fact that we've lost the ability to disagree. If you disagree with someone, that automatically means they're your enemy. But the problem with that is we have to complement each other. You have to have both sides of the aisle to meet in the middle. And you have to disagree in order to have compromise. And that's where unity comes from. And we have to be able to work through that and not just say, you disagree with me? Okay, you're not my friend. We're enemies. Like, cool. Well, then we'll never go anywhere. We'll never make progress. Yeah, and then the last song, Hope, actually, so that was COVID. The story about that is I had the album finished and I was going to send it off to mastering and all that stuff around March. And the lockdowns happened. The song Hope, I wrote it during that time because I'm like, I have to, as an artist or musician, that's kind of how you deal with things. And so I wanted to write that song as literally hope for people. And so I took one of the songs off the album and put that one on. So I was able to write it, record it, get it all finished within a couple of weeks and add it to the album. So that one is a COVID project, that song specifically.
I mean, there's so much in that that is just, it was starting to ramp up last year, you know, when you started this, and now it's just mm-hmm. like, gone absolutely bananas.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, just look at the masks. I mean, you're talking about not having the ability to disagree. Look at something just as simple as masks. And just,
yeah, we're arguing about masks.
Well, and just how rabid some people can get of like, oh, I just really don't think that the masks have a major effect right now. And then there's a bunch of people who just go nuts. Or I think masks are the absolute mandatory. Like, we can't do this without masks. And then
right.
the other side just goes rabid. It's insane right now.
I know. Well, it's, yeah, the mask is a great example because even the mask. Okay, let's say I don't want to wear one. Does that affect you wearing one? No. So you wear a mask if you want to wear a mask. I'll wear a mask. And I do wear one when I go out just because I'll take precautions, whatever. It's not a big deal to me. I don't feel like me wearing a mask is like, you don't have faith in God anymore. It's the mark of the beast, the mask. Yeah. Like, no, it's a mask.
Yeah.
But people can't handle the fact that you're doing something different than them. Yeah. Well, I don't know what that is. I think it's an insecurity on people are not confident in their own self that they have to make everyone else like them. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but yeah, the fact is like, dude, wear a mask or don't wear one and let other people make their own decisions because we're grownups.
Well, and just so much of what you were saying, just, you know, the gatekeeping with media and just, I mean, that's just manifesting itself just so much with everything. We've so far in 2020, we've had coronavirus, we've had the social injustice, we've had, oh, what else have we had? It seems like
riots.
Everything. Yeah.
Got riots.
It's just about what the news is trying to show us, like Portland, you know, which, you know, John, Micah, and James is like, you kind of worry about them, you know, now that I think about that.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Because, you know, the media is trying to, well, depends on what media station you have. You know, exactly. One media station is trying to say that the whole city is in flames. The other media station is trying to say that it's just all peachy keen and this is overreaction and there's nothing going on here. It's just whatever. And the truth is that there's something more in the middle. It's there, but it's not the city's on fire and it's not everything's all right, but there's a situation that needs to be addressed.
My theory is that there's three sides to every story. Yep. There's your side, there's my side, and there's the truth. It's usually somewhere in the middle because I think, especially during the lockdown and the way technology is now, where people are more and more isolated, they don't have as much interaction with human beings. Because you can say something on Twitter and just seem like the bravest, most confident dude. And then you see that same person in real life, you're not going to say that to their face at all.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get punched.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think we've forgotten what it's like to get punched in the face for disrespecting someone. I think there needs to be some more punching. But like to get a reaction out of people now, because we've become so just used to everything, you have to go more and more extreme, right?
Yep.
Because we're becoming numb. So you have to go further and further. And in isolation, you sort of self-radicalize because you're not around people. Yep. You're just around media. And so all you're doing is seeing this stuff that's either far right or far left, depending on what side you choose. Yep. And before you know it, you've radicalized. You're like super extreme because you have no interaction with another human being.
Yep.
You're not meeting in the middle. You're just living in a box, basically just force-feeding yourself outrage. And there we go.
That's a good thought. You know, as you're talking about that, I'm sitting here thinking one of the basic human desires is to be heard. I mean, we hear that over and over and over again, psychologists with people who lash out. And I mean, that's a consistent theme that we have right now, because we have been all sent to our rooms and isolating ourselves. We don't have that communication to be heard between different people and exchange ideas. So, in order to be heard on social media or anything, you have to be either one side or the other sometimes. Yep.
And you got to be loud. So, for example, if you have an opinion, you're like, I don't like, or I like pepperoni pizza.
Yep.
Okay, cool. That gets 50 likes. Oh, cool. Awesome. Well, I need that next hit of dopamine. So my next tweet is, I like pepperoni, but I love pineapple. Okay, 75. Okay, let's go up from there. if you like pineapple, I hate you. 300 likes. You know, you're basically just escalating your opinions because you desperately want to be heard and you want that affirmation, and we're getting it from social media and not from human beings. Yep. Right. And so it's basically just a process of, yeah, self. It's sort of weird. It's like all these people have such extreme opinions. I bet you if you talk to them face to face, they're just like, oh yeah, I mean, I like pizza. Pizza is good. You know, you can have pepperoni if you want. But on Twitter, they're like, if you have pepperoni, you're a demon. It's like, okay. So it's just a weird, that's a weird example, but I think I'm hungry. I was talking about pizza.
Well, let's just set the stage. Pineapple on pizza is amazing. So
yep. Here we go. Now we're going to disagree. This interview is over.
Yes. Canceled. Canceled.
All right. You're canceled, bro.
Oh, terrible. Which is hilarious because that's like our go-to is pineapple. We see all that kind of stuff. And speaking of being hungry, you know, my wife's favorite, especially during the pregnancy, is it's a pizza with white sauce. And it's a Hawaiian with green peppers and olives is her go-to.
No, that's like the exact opposite of my pizza of choice. Don't like white sauce. Don't like any of that stuff. I just like, I'm basic. I like pepperoni.
All right. So let's start a Twitter battle right here.
Okay,
perfect. We're on either side of the aisle here.
Perfect. I'm prepared to insult you over your pizza choices.
And I'm prepared to insult you over your lack of pizza choices.
Now we're getting it.
This is a true 2020 episode
That's how you 2020.
Oh, it's so terrible.
Yeah.
Where did we go wrong in this episode?
I think when you picked up the phone when I called, I think that's probably where it went wrong, derailed.
Well,
we were talking about the album and then somehow that happened. But yeah, all that to be said, check out my album at nateparrish.com.
Yeah. We're joking earlier. It's like I read in this book somewhere that there's nothing new under the sun. I read that somewhere in some book. I don't know. I think it was an old one.
Yeah. Sounds like an old book. So the album's been out for 5 weeks and it's been cool, man. I'm already, spoiler alert, working on the next album. I've been writing a lot and recording, taking a break right now with the little guy, but
yeah. So you just had a new little one, you know, when we were recording this, you know, a week ago.
Yeah.
So delving headfirst into fatherhood.
Headfirst into fatherhood. The next album is going to be all kid songs. Yeah. So, you know.
Baby Shark rebelling. Punk rock version.
Rebelling against eating vegetables and things like that. Nah, it's been cool. It's, it changes your perspective, which I think is good. Kids change you. They sort of mellow you out a little bit as far as like things don't matter as much.
Yep.
You know, like
that's true.
I used to go on Facebook and look and see someone saying something ridiculous like, dude, come on. And now I'm just like, you're dumb. And I just keep scrolling. It's like, it doesn't matter. You need a nap. I just treat adults like babies now. Like when they're all up in arms about something, I'm not going to wear a mask. Oh, you need to take a nap. Do you need me to burp you? Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, perspective. Yeah,
perspective, man. It's a great perspective shift having a baby, having to take care of another little human.
Yep. I mean, when you're married, your spouse can kind of take care of themselves. I mean, there's a mutual kind of a mutual thing.
But, sure.
You know, with the baby, it's just complete dependence.
Complete dependence. Yeah. I always try to like look at it of, okay, so this is probably similar to how God sees us. We're just, we think that we're doing a bunch of cool stuff. You know, we're building our little empires and we're having Twitter battles and we're like saving the world with our slogans on t-shirts. And God looks at us, he's like, "Aw, you pooped your pants again. I'm going to change you."
Which I haven't had the chance to tell this story yet, but on our vacation a couple of weeks ago, we went back home to Wyoming and family reunion, and we were up on a mountain visiting my grandpa's ashes, and my older girl, she's 9 and just fearless. I mean, for the most part, and she was just climbing all over these rocks, and there's these steep drop-offs, and I'm like, get away from there, go, stop, and I'm like, I am a parent now, like, she came over, and she just kind of had this look on her face, I'm like, are you just tired or are you cranky with me? And she's like, oh, a little bit of both. And it's like, I don't care. I'd rather you be cranky with me and be safe than having something happen and careless. And she's like, arr. I'm like,
right.
This has come full circle. This has totally come full circle on me.
Yep. That's crazy. You don't, you know, even when he's, I'm changing him and he's crying. You know, he's like losing it. I'm like, bro, there's poop in here. Like, let me change it. But, you know, similar to the God thing where, you know, there's correction and stuff where we're about to jump off a cliff and he's, don't do that. Like, I don't want people telling me what to do, but we can't see what's ahead.
Yep.
You know, and so that's a whole other faith and trust thing that I'm sure this baby will teach me a lot more about.
So many good parallels and perspectives, you know, once you get to this side of life.
Yep. Yep. So he's got a lot of guitars to play with, though, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's just an aspect of good childhood.
So, nerd alert, I do collect action figures as well. So, mostly He-Man. He can play with those, but probably has to wait till he's about 15 or 16 because can't break those. Those are collector's items, son.
I probably should not admit this in public, but I have a whole stash of Beanie Babies that from when I was in my early teens.
Like, yes.
I was obsessed with Beanie Babies. It was a bad situation now that I look back on that.
Yeah. But you have an edit. You can edit this, right? You can sort of like get that out.
Yeah. If I will or not is debatable, but depending on how bad I feel about myself at the time.
Just own it.
But so we're cleaning out our garage and we found the box of them and my kid just goes nuts and I'm a little bit like, yes. Well, part of it is she has so many stuffed animals too. That's like, all right, you can have one out of the box. We can pull out one. You can have it in your room, but
sure,
you get the one. So
right.
It's a little bit different having daughters because she's not too much into action figures, but she saw those and like she just went nuts. Like, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. I'm just bracing for the moment where I hear a crash from the other room.
Yeah.
I'm like, we lost another good He-Man today. We lost him. My son's name is Bishop, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so wrap this up. I've heard rumors, I think, maybe I'm just making them up wishfully, of new music coming from Cutlass.
Whoa. Where'd you hear that?
I don't know. Like I said, it could be wishful thinking too, but is there any truth to that? Is that something coming through?
I will say that I have received several text messages with demos from a certain guitar player named James. And yeah, it is new music and it is heavy.
Excellent.
It is heavy. It's cool. I'm pumped about it.
Awesome.
I think if you are wanting a little bit more of the heavier side of Cutlass, I think you're going to be stoked on it.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah, dude. So it's cool.
We're excited to hear that one come out from Cutlass. We're excited to hear your next album come out as well. And
yeah,
man, like I said, I'm just loving this album. It's called I'm a Wreck,
mm-hmm.
which is probably accurate right now for you with the newborn sleep schedule.
Absolutely. Another prophetic moment.
Awesome. Well,
yeah.
We appreciate you hanging out with us here, man.
Yeah, man. It's been a blast. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.